Today's seniors will live longer than any of their parents or grandparents and will do so with better health and vitality and more resources. But this increased longevity also comes with challenges, and we'll discuss all of it coming up this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November 19th. We will talk with a self-proclaimed elder chick who has some tips on living life to its fullest and reinventing ourselves in our elder years. And we'll welcome your questions and maybe your suggestions too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you see retirement as an opportunity to do the things you couldn't do earlier on? What are some of the biggest challenges facing you, and how are you navigating them? What suggestions do you have for living a fulfilled life in your elder years? Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Thelma Reese, a retired professor of English and of education. She is co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog and co-author of The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us. You describe yourself as an elder chick. What exactly is an elder chick?
Well, in my case, at this point, I'm 82, but I started working on the idea about 5 years ago with my co-author and co-creator of the blog, Bobby Fleischer, who's a few years older than I. When we were retired from teaching, looking around, seeing some of the people, our contemporaries, doing this aging thing well, or at least appearing to, and some not. And we wondered, what was the difference? We wondered this, by the way, not as academics anymore.
Yeah.
Because we had done enough of that kind of writing and research and reading, frankly. And we were more interested in the lives of these people and what they had figured out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started to talk about it with contemporaries, and then we found out a lot of interesting things and wonderful stories.
And we'll talk about some of them during the hour. But at what age can one rightly call oneself an elder chick?
Well, we have honorary elder chicks, of course, but in the book, we have people from 60 to 100. And it's not what one calls oneself so much. It's the idea of realizing that you're reaching another stage of your life and you want to make the most of it. So we started thinking about, well, what are the things coming up that we're all thinking about? What are the ideas? What are the challenges? And not so much about specific health challenges, although we do talk about how one deals with them and the possibility that they're there. They will come, but what do you do about it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
how do you continue to live well?
Right, and you are focused mostly on issues facing women, can we say that many of these issues also apply to elder dudes?
Well, that book's coming out.
Oh, is it? Okay.
We're in the process of interviewing men right now, and yes, we're doing the book on that. But we started with women, first of all, because there are more of us, and second of all, because women speak so easily to each other and about each other, mm-hmm. I might add, and seem almost immediately to open up. And, you know, you can be on a plane or a train or a bus and have someone's life story in about 5 minutes if you're open to it. I always watched my mother do this. She would just sit and nod, and when she'd get off any kind of travel, even on a bus in the city, the person next to her would usually say, oh, thank you, sometimes kiss her before they got off because they'd had an audience.
Aw, yeah. And
so, we're like that. Women are like that.
And we have unique challenges in our older years in that if we had been married, we live longer often than our
Absolutely.
Our spouses.
Yes, statistically, that's just the truth. That's who we are. We do live longer and seem to handle living alone better for a longer time.
Yeah. And now are we really living with each other, a bunch of older women who maybe were friends, or and are we really doing the Golden Girls thing now these days?
Well, I had friends who used to say, unfortunately, they're gone, when we're old, let's all live together, but you have to promise we'll have fights. But no, we didn't find that very much, really. We didn't find women living together, although it's a possibility. But women do often really form groups that are pretty cohesive, much more so than men, of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm mid-50s, and I saw one interview where I could consider myself in this area, midlife, where I'm entering those elder chick years, and I'm not yet retired, but I've yet to figure out exactly what will I do when I retire. And that's a part of this, is reinventing yourself after retirement.
Absolutely. You know, a few years before we wrote the book, Bobby and I floated the idea and got nowhere. At the time that we did it, however, we wrote what the concerns were. We found an agent immediately because she was your age. She said, oh my gosh, these are exactly the topics that my friends and I are talking about now. And she was 62 and said, oh, we're going to get this published, and did so immediately. So the attitudes have changed. People have realized, partly because of the numbers, the sheer numbers of seniors among us, but so people start in their 60s usually to think about, well, what am I going to do next?
Right.
You know, life, I may have a good third of my life to plan or think about, and certainly to live. How am I going to live it? And so we found that these things were common to most thinking people, and we're talking here, of course, about people who are not suffering from Alzheimer's, who are fortunate enough to still have their faculties, to still be able to make such plans. So these concerns start coming to thinking people, we found, even in their 50s, who are now realizing that they have a long life ahead.
Right. I'm planning on living to be 112. I don't know about you.
Well, you probably will.
And I might.
The person has already been born. We don't know that person by name yet, but the person has been born in the world who's going to live to about 150.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what's different about these days is that women in their 60s today are, for the most part, living very vital lives. And
absolutely, they're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are just in the middle of it, and so it's just impossible to hit that age, still be vital, still be working, still be involved, engaged in the world, and not be thinking, what am I going to do next, and what can I do next, and what opportunities are there for me as I go on, because you've got so much on your side. You've got not only experience, but you still have curiosity. And I don't want to use the word ambition so much. It's a different thing. It's a different kind of energy and an openness to new experience that's based partly on your own wisdom that you've developed. So you're in a great position.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. But we will talk about some of the challenges facing women who are at this stage of life, and talk some about the loss of identity after retiring and how we might prepare for that. Maybe you have already done this. What tips do you have? What suggestions do you have? What did you do after you retired, if you did? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. How do you live your senior years to the fullest? Or do you have any questions for our guest, Thelma Reese, who is the co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog? More after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest, a self-proclaimed elder chick, who is sharing some tips on living life to its fullest in our senior years. And we wonder what tips you have or what questions or concerns are on your mind. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Thelma Reese, a retired professor of English and of education, co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog, and co-author of The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. And Thelma, I mentioned before news that I wanted to talk with you about some of the challenges facing women in midlife, and especially some of the challenges facing women who are about ready to retire or are retiring. And you say that the loss of identity after retiring is big?
It depends on whether you've had your identity largely through what it is you do. You know, one of the people in the book, one of the few men in the book, Dr. Don Friedman likes to say, I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. And it isn't, for some people, what they do so becomes their identity that the idea of retiring and not doing it anymore is particularly difficult. I think that's truer usually of men that we've met than of women, because women usually are playing many roles throughout their lives, particularly if they're people who have children and grandchildren. So their identity is not usually wrapped up quite so much in their profession or their work. But if it is, and they stop that, they have to face the fact that that wasn't who they were. It was what they did. And even though it's a large part of their identity, there's still more to explore and develop and perhaps become as devoted to as they were to their work.
Yeah. It might have been Bobby, your co-creator of Elder Chicks, who had mentioned that in some women, losing the satisfaction of wielding authority or addressing an admiring audience can lead to genuine bewilderment, and you think, will anyone ever listen to me again?
And you know where you find some of that joy is in some of the people who feel rightly, I'm going to do wonderful volunteer work. And I'm going to find that satisfying, and they do. But there are others who are so disappointed when they start volunteering to find that the organization they wanted to help wasn't exactly looking for a new president.
Yeah.
They were looking for someone who was willing to do what needed to be done. And if they are used to holding that position of authority, it can come as a jolt to realize that maybe they won't have that right away in what they do next.
Yeah, and I'm beginning to wonder if anybody's listening to me right now, because we have open lines, and we would love your thoughts and your questions about growing older and about reinventing yourself after retirement or beyond midlife? Are you someone who, after retirement, started doing something completely different? What have you done to remain active or to remain vital or to make a difference post-retirement? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Frank in Liberty did call in and he couldn't stay, but he said that he thinks there is a lack of a defined role for seniors in today's society. Is this something that you sense, Thelma?
Absolutely. We're hoping there's going to be more. One of the things that we really were conscious of when we wrote this book and when we started the blog is our society has not been one that really has shown great interest in or respect for seniors. I think it's changing enormously. It's changing in part because of our sheer numbers. But it's changing as well because I think, and that's partly based on the numbers and our visibility, because we realize that we need everybody in this society. We really need the expertise, the experience, and the wisdom of older people as well. And the older people themselves realize they have so much to do and to give. But it's not been our tradition to pay attention to seniors. Most senior women particularly became sort of invisible at the point at which they stopped being what Madison Avenue considered attractive and appealing.
Right.
That's reality. I think it's changing. I mean, look, Gloria Steinem is on her book tour right now without makeup, without surgery, still beautiful, probably in some ways more than ever.
Yeah.
And I just read, and we just posted on our Facebook page for Elder Chicks, the little story that came out of Anne Bernays, the author who still teaches at Harvard at 85, who decided to dye her hair blue.
You know what? That was an NPR story. You're right. It was on National Public Radio just yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Great. It was great. Someone wrote back this morning to us saying, I think I'll go for purple.
Well, I will tell you that it resonated with me too, Thelma, because I'm actually letting my hair grow out right now in terms of I had been coloring it. And I'm allowing it to go gray.
Good. For you, and maybe blue.
And that's what I was going to do. I was going to maybe put a streak of teal or purple or blue or something in it once.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. I would go for something that goes with your eyes.
Ah, but that they're brown. But I suppose just about anything can go with that. Shelley in Lando Lakes is with us. Hello, Shelley.
Hello.
Yes, and thank you for calling. I kind of prodded our listeners into calling. Are you an elder chick?
I'm 61.
Okay, you are.
And I'm looking forward to a new stage of my life. I hope I get the job through Brazos County Human Services, taking care of the elderly in my area. And I'm finally looking forward to the future. This is something I can do for 10, 15, 20 years. I thought, what am I going to do now, you know? Well, not too long ago. And now I'm happy, you know? I'm looking forward to the future.
Oh, that's so terrific. And it's something you can do as long as you want to do it and are really finding satisfaction in it, because you're going to be involved with other people, which for most women is really a big key to having some kind of very satisfying things to do. I think we talk about being in a senior bubble, and just talking to other people like ourselves instead of interacting with people of different generations. And it seems to make a lot of difference in one's life.
Now, is there, though, Thelma, the challenge of age discrimination, even though it's not supposed to exist, in hiring these days?
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that is why I think seniors have to be very resourceful in deciding what they want to do. But we're living in a very entrepreneurial age, too, where I think the idea of figuring out what you want to do and doing it becomes more of the attitude than I'm going to find a job and apply for it. I'm going to figure out what I want to do and what I enjoy doing. For example, she's still only, I think, in her late 60s now, but there's a woman in the book who was an executive of an insurance company. She'd always been in business, but when she was a girl, she grew up in Kansas on a farm. She was a 4-H girl. She had great sewing skills and still liked to do that. And she started a wonderful business. She was written up in the New York Times at one point, and she moved back with her husband to the Midwest, and she could carry on her business online, which was a way you couldn't do it years ago. And she takes beautiful memory pieces like wedding gowns, quilts, things that have been in the family, and transforms them into pillows mm-hmm. and other items for the house, and has a thriving business. And it's something that she loves doing. She can do it all on her own terms. She can find clients through the web, things that we couldn't do years ago. These are all these opportunities for giving one services or developing your interest into a business that people couldn't do before.
Yeah. Good luck, Shelley. I hope that you get that job that that you want, helping to take care of the elderly in Vilas County. Let's go next to Teresa and Rhinelander, or Teresa. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, because I'm driving. But I am not hands-free, so thank goodness for Bluetooth.
Good.
Yes. I was in a career for 38 years and went to college while I was working, retired, and now am becoming a grade school teacher. I have my license. I have a job. So at 60 years of age, which was difficult, I was nervous about age discrimination. I'm starting a whole new career.
And lucky kids to get you.
Thank you.
What wonderful. So what made you decide that you wanted to become a grade school teacher at the age of 60, Teresa?
Well, I've been a coach for over 32 years, and I realized coaching and teaching are in the same boat, and I just, that was my passion, was to teach.
You know, I think about how lucky these kids are, and probably your sisters and brothers on the faculty who are going to benefit from the fact that they may have been doing the actual teaching longer, but you have something they don't have. You have the wisdom and probably the patience
yes.
that comes with being older than they are.
And you know what I love, too, is that Teresa, maybe she had a passion for coaching as well, but she's following a passion
yeah.
for teaching in her you know, post-60 years.
And she's recognizing her own strengths in what she's been doing and developing it further. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Now to Sandra in Milwaukee. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Well, I like the cheerfulness of your program, but I want to rain a little bit on your parade. When I was 60, I started playing piano again, and I started doing some stand-up comedy kinds of things. And by the time I retired at 70, I was the alternate pianist for my church, and I was doing some little stand-up gigs, mostly with groups on which either my husband and I were on the board, but it was a lot of fun. 2 years ago, I developed macular degeneration, the wet kind. It basically, I couldn't
too.
See my audience, so I couldn't do the comedy. I couldn't read the music. So I think I would like to hear a little bit. I mean, it's nice to get old. It's nice to have the mental attitude that we won't just vegetate. But I would just caution you and ask you about what people did when they found that their bodies were failing them.
Yeah, great Thelma. Question. And the fact that you mentioned the wet macular degeneration strikes close to home, because my husband gets 2 shots usually in his eyes every 4 to 5 weeks. I have it only in one eye, and so I've had the injections, which were not even available 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, pardon me, that there are many, many physical problems that can arise, not to mention other things that kind of get in our way, like how about loss? There isn't anyone who reaches these years without undergoing tremendous challenges, physical, emotional, having to adjust to these things. My husband is an artist and a writer, and is adjusting to the fact of his vision. But it would have been gone years ago.
Yeah.
We were very frightened with that diagnosis of wet macular degeneration. I'm not sure, Teresa, if you are
this
getting
this is Sandra
treatments.
Now.
Excuse
me, Thelma. Sandra, it's
Sandra.
And Sandra, are you, I mean, I'm very sorry that you say you have lost much of your vision because of this.
Well, I too am getting treatment, but yes, it's affected my ability to drive, and it's made me a lot more dependent than the independent, happy person I was intending to be at 70.
Yeah.
And there are other things like knee problems and aches and pains and all those things that go with it. So I just wanted to bring that into the conversation, because however we set our mind, we are going to have to work around bodies that don't work very
right.
well.
Right.
There is no question that if you are fortunate enough to live long, you'll have these kinds of physical challenges, or you are liable to. It's very rare that one doesn't. The oldest people in our book, who were both 100, were certainly faced with these things, and to a great degree. And there were things they had to give up doing, and other things they had to assume doing instead, or they could just say, I can't do this anymore and I'm not going to do anything else. These are realities, and we deal with that a lot in the book, where people are talking about what happened to them and how they adjust to whatever it is. It's a tough time. Sometimes Bobby and I joke that, you know, we're going to be very positive as we are in this book, and as we are in the book that we're writing about men. And then we're going to write a third volume, and we'll say, this is how it really is, and give all the downsides.
We need to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio once again, and then we'll continue talking with Thelma Reese, co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog, about reinventing ourselves in the years beyond midlife. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about how seniors today are living longer than any of their forebears, parents or grandparents. And we are, for the most part, doing so with better health and vitality and more resources. But there are also challenges. Certainly there is some decreased health, and certainly there is a challenge with resources, and certainly some of us have a challenge reinventing ourselves after retirement. We are talking about the pros and the cons of the later years with Thelma Rees, a retired professor of English and of education. She is co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog and co-author of the book The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. And we have provided a link to the blog and to the book on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thelma has mentioned that she and her co-author are also writing a similar book for men. That's in progress. We're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own recommendations. What suggestions do you have for living a fulfilled life in the senior years? What challenges are you facing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Diane in Elkhorn emails, are there any characteristics or life choices which were common among women, the elder chicks that you interviewed, which were the most happy, satisfied, or fulfilled?
I would say really resilience. The idea that people do bounce back from the most difficult circumstances. The oldest people seem to reach very similar conclusions in their lives. They were reflective about their lives. They were accepting of tremendous challenges. They both used the expression, these were women who lived to be 100, while we were talking to them, and said, look, this is part of living. When I would ask them about the losses they had been through, the shocking changes for them in their lives, they both, in this very philosophical tone, this is life. This is part of life. You don't escape these things. How do you deal with them when they happen to you? How long does it take you to come out of the fog? And it is often, we found, a fog when something terrible happens, when there is some huge trauma, loss of a partner, the loss of someone in the family. There's usually a period of tremendous disorientation. But recognizing that there is actually light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Someone put it exactly that way for me and said, you know, it's like being in a forest and waiting till you get to a clearing. But you do get to it.
That's a good way to put it. That reminds me of my friend Barbara, who I see at my health club, the gym that I go to, and she is in there no matter, I don't go every day, but I think she goes every day, and whenever I'm there, I see her in the pool, and she is 92, and she did lose her husband earlier this year, and she, I think, is still in that fog to some extent, but she said that doing this this activity was good for her mind and her soul. And her body.
Yeah.
And
she thinks about that. She obviously thinks about the fact that she is doing something positive for herself with all the pain she's going through. This is not something you can't expect in life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look forward to it. You know, we gave the last words in the book to a woman who has been through, you name it, and she's been through it and still is. But she's so brave, and she's so terrific, and she does such interesting things. And she says, while I can, I will. When I can't, I won't. But I'll be glad that I did when I could. Mm. This is her, this is the philosophy she's developed. And people do develop a philosophy.
Let's go to Jenny in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Your guest is very interesting, but I am curious how you stay, how you reinvent yourself when you're 72 years old. You're never going to be able to retire because of financial. You work 9 to 10 hours a day, a 40-hour week. You're in a convenience store. You're on your feet all day, and you're lifting heavy boxes. I come home. I cook. I do the laundry, and I do dishes. And by the time I sit down, I am way too tired to think about reinventing myself. I'm not feeling sorry for myself, because if I didn't have a job, I'd be in big trouble. But how do you stay positive? Because when these books are written, they never look at the many, many, many elderly people who have to work and don't want to. So I guess I just wondered how you, you know, how do you stay upbeat? And one of my biggest fears is my body won't hold out. So this is not looked at, I don't think. So I was just curious what your guest had to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, thanks for bringing that up, because mm-hmm. we set out when we wrote this, we were determined to do several things, but among them was that we were not just going to look at women who had all kinds of advantages. And the over 200 women that we spoke with were from all walks of life, and one of the most inspiring for me is now well in her 90s and lives alone in a tiny row house in Philadelphia on the street where she grew up. She's so remarkable. At this point, she is living on Social Security and the benefits that she had from her union. She never finished high school, but she always was a reader. She is religious. She gets a lot of comfort from the Bible and reading it every day. And she also keeps up with the news. Why does she keep up with the news, I wondered. It's because it takes her out of herself for those minutes when she's thinking about it and when she's watching that on television. She doesn't watch much on television, by the way. She has a hospital bed, but she's still able to climb the stairs once a day, she says. And she also has made it a practice to find out every resource that is available to her because she is old and at this point disabled. So if there's a bus that will take her to a shopping center, she knows about it. She has found every resource that is available through her own research. She's a remarkable woman who's gone through everything, including tremendous racial discrimination in every job she had. And I marvel at her positive attitude, but it's something that comes from inside. It's not something that's going to come from outside.
Yeah. Let's go to Marilyn in Randolph. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning. I'm just coming off of 12-hour shift, helping others, and I'm 76 years old. I am always encouraged with my children to just retire, you know, just get out there and do what you want to do. And like the lady before me said, finances are not always available to do just what you want to do. So I work, and I help take care of the elderly, and I enjoy that because it gives me something to focus on other than just getting old and maybe, you know, retiring.
Right. Thank you very much.
The other thing that you said that I think is really important is you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You recognize what it is that you're doing that is giving you satisfaction. It's not just the money. Or maybe if it were the money that was making you feel more self-sufficient because you need it, but you recognize that you can still get it, so much the better.
Yeah,
it's looking at what it is that does satisfy as well as pay the bills. And when people say just retire, they mean very well, but they really don't know what they're talking about.
Let's take another call from Valerie in Greenfield. Hi, Valerie. We're almost out of time, but how have you reinvented yourself?
Well, hi. I just kind of expanded myself a little bit. I work in the hospital. I'm now volunteering at the hospital one day a week. I go to church, and so I started a book club at church. I'm a member of a senior league, and we meet twice a month and have a meal and a program and do day trips and long trips. I volunteer at the Alzheimer's Association, which I did before I retired, and I do a support group for women. And I was part of a local women's church group, and now I expanded to be part of a regional women's support group.
Thank you very much, Valerie. But we have other callers who want to chime in, but we are out of time. Thelma, one single best piece of advice you have about navigating our elder chick years?
I think it's get out of a senior bubble. I think it's engage with other people, and engage with other people in a positive way where it satisfies you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thelma Reese, a retired professor of English and of education, co-creator of the Elder Chicks blog, co-author of The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. And she is working on a similar book for men. Before retiring, she created the Advisory Council for Hooked on Phonics and was its spokesperson in the 90s. She also served as the director of the Mayor's Commission on Literacy for the City of Philadelphia. Thank you to Marika Suval for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction. Stay tuned. It's On the Campaign Trail coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.